web at newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
How are you doing today, Neil?
I'm doing fine, except I'm a little bit concerned about the rain in the next couple of days.
Yes, it is concerning for sure.
If it's Monday, I have to pack. It looks like that's what happened last week, too.
I know, it definitely. And please do pack. Heed those warnings. It's not worth it.
Yes, I know.
Before we get into the articles, though, we're thrilled to have Jennifer Goddard of The Goddard Company in studio with us, who is a PR maven, and we will get to her interview once we finish with the articles. But before you start in on those articles, Neil, I was reading this weekend about the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and he is in real estate management in Manhattan, like you were in your previous career before you became a radio personality. And what was confusing to me is that when he filed his taxes, he was able to say that he did not have rent control apartments when he did. How is that possible?
Well, it's not exactly his taxes. It's actually, believe it or not, worse than that. The laws in New York are written so that if you own a building and there's a rent-protected tenant, you cannot evict that tenant. And if you buy a building that has a group of them, then in order to, which is what he wanted to do, rip the building down and put up a high-rise, you need to make a deal with the tenants. So tenants sometimes are just obstinate. They don't care what you give them. They just won't leave. So what he did is he went out and got, in many cases, a building permit. And the affidavit that he filled out apparently said that he did not have any rent-controlled or rent-stabilized tenants. And what allegedly some tenants' rights people are saying is they then harassed the tenants that were there and forced them out, and then he was able to rip the building down. So it's not just a technical mistake that he didn't fill out the form correctly. It goes to the entire business transaction, which is to buy a building cheaper than it would otherwise be because the leases encumber the building and you can't do what you would do to get the highest and best use, and fool the city into letting you get a building permit to rip the building down. So if it's true, it's a pretty serious charge. And so apparently in the press, his defense is that someone else did it, which is possible. But the point is, if you buy a building that has rent-controlled tenants, you know that in order to get those tenants out, you have to get those tenants out for you to realize your plans. It's sort of hard to believe that he wasn't involved in some way.
So his defense is someone at the company did it and he was unaware? Is that...
But, if I buy a building in New York that has tenants that would prohibit me from doing what I want to do, that's the only issue that you're focused on as the owner. So it seems hard to believe that would not be not only his prime concern, his only concern, because, again, the building is worth something if you can get the tenants out.
Well, and I think that this actually translates a little into the Santa Barbara, affordable housing issue where City Council has brought up doing some rent control. And your stance has always been, rent control doesn't work.
In New York, when I was in the business, I was the first person that got a call if someone was getting a divorce. It wasn't the divorce lawyer. It was me. And they would say, what can you do to help me get an apartment? I'm leaving my wife or I'm leaving my husband. Today, it would take about 5 or 6 minutes to get an apartment in New York. Now, you'd have to pay for it, but there is now no supply problem. What rent control in every marketplace does is it restricts supply, and therefore it benefits those people that are lucky enough to have occupied the apartment in the case of rent control before 1969 and in the case of rent stabilization before 1971. But anyone new is going to be constrained, and so if you want to have a marketplace that is available to everyone, rent control is really the wrong way to go. So I understand why Krishna would want to get tenants out, and in fact, it's good for the city, but you got to play by the rules.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is a good segue or not, but the next article we have here, it was from yesterday's Wall Street Journal, and the title is Profitless Companies Flood the IPO Market, the initial public offering market. And more than three-quarters of the 108 companies that completed IPOs in 2017 reported losses in the 12 months prior to their offering. This is the highest percentage since the peak of the dot-com boom in 2000. So what we have here is companies that are going public with no profits, which in some respects not only resembles 2000, where you had some of these companies that really probably never had a chance of going public, of making a profit. And the problem is that there are companies like Amazon that up until recently never made a profit but succeeded. On the other hand, one of the things the article points out, that a lot of biotech companies, nearly 30% of the biotech firms that come to the market are coming to the market before they have any approved drugs. And biotech investing without an approved drug is strictly a gamble. So people
absolutely
would focus on that.
Yeah, if you focus on, and really as investors, that is what you should be focusing on, is what is their next drug that in the biotech space? What is their next drug? Where are they in FDA approval? What's going on? Otherwise, it's anyone's guess whether or not that stock will go up or their drugs will come to fruition.
Well, you said, you used an interesting word in that sentence, in that statement. You said investors, and there's a difference between investing and speculating, and there's nothing wrong with speculating if you understand what you're doing. So if someone is offered an IPO in a company that doesn't make money, that may be fine, but make sure that that is part of your portfolio that is suitable for speculating, which is essentially betting that something good is going to happen, but there's no history, there's no way of really having conviction.
It reminds me of Theros, that company that, you know, was going to revolutionize how all of us did our drug testing, our blood work, you know, at any pharmacy, and you'd be a prick of your finger and basically be able to run the battery of tests. And all of that was founded on fraudulent, actually, claims that that their testing strategy worked and their science worked, and
you know,
it did not.
In the article last week that discussed the penalties that the chairwoman is facing, she had to give up all of her stock in order to make a settlement with the SEC. And I'm thinking, you know, that's giving up all your stock in a worthless company is not exactly a big penalty.
And if you read that closely, she couldn't work for another publicly traded company for 10 years.
Right. As if they would have hired her.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Stanford dropout. That has cachet, right?
It does have cachet because no one gets into Stanford, by the way, in case you're – so I'm impressed.
In case those poor people out there waiting on their admissions letters, right, that is the time that we're in.
So I think we have time for one more article. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the news about the comment that Trump made that he told the Prime Minister of Canada that we did not have a trade deficit with – that we did have a trade deficit with Canada. And it turns out, we do have a trade deficit with Canada. But the difference is that he was really talking about only produce goods, not services. And the reason, whether he meant it or didn't mean it, the reason that's so important for people in America to focus on is that total jobs in America that are producing services is 148 million. Jobs that are producing product are 20 million. So services are significantly more important to Americans than product.
And what's interesting is if you hear politicians on the campaign trail, you would think it would be the exact opposite, in that we are a manufacturing economy. We are no longer a manufacturing, we're a services economy, and it makes a real difference in what type of jobs you're trying to protect. And it's
And there's crossover. So, for example, if we're exporting a car, part of that car is not manufacturing. If we're exporting a computer that goes into the car, that is, in fact, a information technology that is a service. So the way we calculate services is not just manufactured versus something that's ephemeral. So, you know, Microsoft is basically a service. Guess what the biggest service that Americans provide, which is really interesting, the biggest service of our GDP is travel. And so the fact that we're sometimes criticizing people that come here is really counterproductive. Travel is accounts for $204 billion, the largest export that we have is with people coming to this country and spending things, including at Trump hotels. Very ironic. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country. But it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we could be reached at 564-1290.
And if you're just joining us, we have Jennifer Goddard Combs with us in studio with the Goddard Company, who is, and what they do is they do PR. And we're here to learn a little bit about that, but to give you a little background on Jennifer. She's a graduate of USC. So all those UCLA listeners still keep listening. And she really made a name for herself managing publicity for people in the entertainment industry in LA and the business community before moving up here. And our community reaped the benefits of your move. So thanks for coming to Santa Barbara, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on Money Talk with Neil and Diane. Thank you for the invitation.
Great. So first, you know, the first time I met you, and in an effort of full disclosure, my firm does retain Jennifer for PR. So what is the difference between advertising and PR?
Advertising is paid and publicity is free. It's a four-letter word, paid and free.
Both of them are four-letter words,
yes.
Actually.
And you know what was so interesting about that is when I was on Wall Street, I would write a 100-page report. And, you know, I got some yawns.
And no one ever read it because it's 100 pages?
They would read it, but no excitement. And who would want to? I follow the insurance industry. Who would care? So if I was quoted and heard on the street, which then was a big deal in the Wall Street Journal, and if I was misquoted, just one misquoted sentence, I would get 100 calls. So the power of the of being recognized in the press is so much more than the real product. It's just something about being put out there in the world by a professional PR firm that has incredible value.
It's wonderful that you understand that, Neil, the power of publicity. And it's a third-party validation. So when you were quoted in the Wall Street Journal, good for you. That's a very big hit.
But the irony is I was misquoted. But that's okay.
People probably don't remember that. Right. They remember your name.
Exactly. It's exactly right.
Absolutely. And so now what would you say the percentage of what we read and hear in the media is generated by someone like you, a public relations professional, as opposed to just reporters reporting or finding it themselves or what have you?
It's 70% of everything we read and hear in the media is generated through professional public relations people called publicists, public relations counselors, because the media really needs PR people because they do not have the manpower to go out and find all the stories that are available throughout the United States or the world.
Wow, so 70%, that's a real higher higher percentage than I would have thought, just because, well, I guess that makes sense as journalists are being culled, as print newspapers kind of going through this revolution of how they're going to manage online, that they need people to give them stories. And that's really what your role is, right, is to give the journalist a story so then they can, or an idea for a story, and then they can take it from there.
Exactly. The tools that we use and that anybody can use, but the tools that professional PR people use, there are a few tools. We use a media list for the targeted client. We use press releases to disseminate information. And if we're trying to secure a story with a reporter at the Wall Street Journal or CNN, we use a letter, a short letter, to that reporter or to the assignment editor. So those are some of the tools that we use.
And one of the things that's really fascinating is that you can be in a small market like Santa Barbara and place a story in NewsHawk, and that could get, just by sheer accident, get picked up by the wire services, and that gets picked up by somebody in New York. And sometimes stories that make national news have come from Des Moines, Iowa's little newspaper. It just has to get into the system.
That you're absolutely correct.
And so now, what would you say is your, why would someone hire you over another PR professional? What makes you different, Jennifer?
Well, there are a lot of fabulous PR people. But for myself, I come from Los Angeles, and I worked for NBC, and I worked for Fox, and I worked for a very good PR agency in the entertainment world that was based in Los Angeles, Levinson & Associates, and Bob also had a New York office. And I really honed my agency skills, and we represented a lot of very famous people, Fleetwood Mac, Hart, Glenn Campbell, among others. And I learned, as an account executive, being on part of Bob's team, really learned how to generate publicity. He was a great mentor.
And how important do you think it is that your relationship with the different media outlets? For instance, if somebody wanted to get into the Santa Barbara, someone from out of town wanted to get their name out in the Santa Barbara community, I would think that they would want to go to someone seasoned professional like yourself that's able to have those relationships already in place with the different media outlets here in town.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. It is wonderful to have good relationships with the press in Santa Barbara. Absolutely. What the media is looking for, what they want to receive, is professionally produced information. That is what they want. So it's not picking up the phone and saying, hi, this is so-and-so. It's giving the media what they want, which are the facts. And so it's important to have a good relationship, but I need to have the same kind of relationship with the New York Times as I do with NewsHawk. Because when I pick up the phone to call the New York Times, they may not know of the Goddard Company. But they know that, but when I'm talking to them, I'm talking to them as a reporter. I've got a story. You may be interested. This has to do with New York City. So it's really reporter to reporter.
Interesting. Okay. So that's good to know. And for people who are graduating from college and looking into what that next profession is, I often hear people aren't always interested in PR. And when they say that to me, I never know kind of how to counsel them what that next step would be. What would, for those listeners that are thinking about going into PR, what things should they be looking for or honing their skills on? What would your advice be to them?
My advice is this. Work for a newspaper. Learn how to write for a newspaper. Even the Santa Barbara News Press. Learn how to write. And then once you hone your skills as a journalist, you can use that for your entire career, whether you go into public relations or you become a producer on CNN. It's something you will be able to use your entire career.
Including business. Because
because
one of the things that I found when I taught at City College, I taught business, is no one knows how to write. They come out of school, and the idea of writing is creative writing, which is fine. I wrote a novel when I left Wall Street 20 years ago, but it's totally different. And writing for a newspaper is really business writing. You know, you tell me what it is you have to say, give me a conclusion, then back it all up. And the kids today coming out of school don't know how to write.
It's a different kind of style of writing than creative writing. It's the facts. Who, what, where, when, and how. But it's worth learning your craft by working for NewsHawk as an intern or for Santa Barbara News Press, wherever someone will take you.
And while a potential client could always call NewsHawk themselves, there's an advantage to having somebody else call because it gives more credibility. Is that not true?
Well, we do not call NewsHawk. Everything's via email, but it's professionally produced by us, which the client approves. So it can be a press release announcing somebody's been named CEO of a company, or it can be a press release having to do with an event, or it can be a press release asking for the business reporter to interview the business.
And it just makes it easier for them in this day and age where the news desks aren't as beefy in terms of staffing. If it's in the appropriate format, et cetera, it will be more likely run.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody can do what we do, but it takes a lot of time and it's very difficult to get published.
You're listening to
Money Talk.
Wrong show. Well, you're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Radio Station. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe. One of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Cota Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldis.com or call 805-962-5394.
Hospice of Santa Barbara is there to help when we're adjusting to living with a life-threatening illness, facing death, anticipating the death of a loved one, or healing our grief after a death. Hospice of Santa Barbara can provide the emotional, social, and spiritual care needed in a supportive, compassionate environment. Hospice of Santa Barbara provides professional counseling for individuals and has many support groups and programs for adults, teens, and children. Services are free, made possible by our community's generosity and by all of the highly trained, wonderful volunteers that give her their time to help those in need. If you would like to make a donation, become a volunteer, or support the important work of Hospice of Santa Barbara, or find out more about hospice services for you or someone you love, please call 563-8820, 563-8820, or visit our website at www.hospiceofsantabarbara.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
And we have in studio with us Jennifer Goddard Combs, the president and founder of the Goddard Company, who manages publicity. And we have an email question in about how do you charge for PR services, Jennifer?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, of course, as we've talked about, advertising is paid and publicity is free. However, it does cost to use a professional. So we use an hourly based on a monthly retainer for most of our clients.
So good to know. So if you had a company out there that's listening that wanted to retain you for a specific occasion or event, like a grand opening or something like that, you could take that piece on without having a year-long retainer with the company.
Yeah, it depends on the company, of course, or the nonprofit, but it is always an hourly based on a retainer of some sort.
Now, how would you say the social media has changed your profession? Because it used to pretty much just be with newspaper outlets or radio shows or the traditional news mediums. Now with Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, the list goes on. How did that change your role?
It has enhanced our world. And I'm going to share with you how it has enhanced our clients' world. When something appears in the Santa Barbara Independent, we create a reprint from that article, and then we post it on the Goddard Company's social media sites, from Instagram to Facebook, all of the outlets we use, and then the client is able to use that article on their social media as well. So I always say publicity is the gift that keeps on giving as long as we keep on sharing it. So it has really enhanced all of our lives in the business world.
We have a caller.
Oh, great. Hello, caller. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. My question was, how do you go about hiring a publicist or a PR person? Is it just a matter of talking to them on the phone? Like, how would I get a hold of Jennifer? What are the steps, and how do I get a hold of you?
Sure. So let's break that up into two parts. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate that. Is how would we get in touch with you first, Jennifer, and then somebody who's looking to hire a publicist, what should they be looking for in the professional that they're interviewing?
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for asking. To reach the Goddard Company is our website, thegoddardcompany.com. We're based in Carpinteria. Going back to
what qualities should somebody who's interviewing or looking for a publicist be looking for?
I think there are a couple of ways. As I'm going to use an example. There's a bank in Santa Barbara that we represent, and when they were looking for public relations, they interviewed three PR firms. So it's two meetings. One is to find out what the potential client is looking for, what their needs are, and the second meeting is coming back and presenting a proposal to the potential client. And that's what I really would recommend, is to of course, meet with a couple PR people, get recommendations from people you know, like, and trust, and go from there.
Great. And so, you know, I think it's interesting. We can use Arlington as an example. Jennifer, you helped us get named in the Arlington Financial Advisors in the top 300 registered investment advisors in the Financial Times. So tell us a little bit about that process. So how did that work, and how did that come about?
This is a good idea. I want to talk about nominations. Okay. We nominated you. And so with your partner, John Lorenz, we wrote a lengthy nomination for Arlington Financial Advisors, and you were chosen, your company, among thousands of companies in the United States.
Because it's a national award. And so when you look at that, how does your scope or how you interact with a client differ, whether they're looking for national publicity or local publicity?
It doesn't really matter. Arlington Financial Advisors is based primarily here, but when we can, we do try to generate national publicity for you. But a lot of your client base is based in this area.
Yeah, we do have a national.
Yes, you do.
We do have a national client base as well. So yes, definitely for us, we're looking for publicity opportunities both locally and nationally.
Right.
So whether a firm's looking for, say, a national stage or international stage or really a local stage, that's something that you're able to help with.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
And so what happens in a recession? In a recession, companies are told that they have to cut back on expenses. And you can't cut back on your rent. You can't cut back on your computer expense. So they tend to cut back on services, which is ironic since a lot of the services are the things that drive revenue. How do you do in recessions in the business? Is it that sensitive?
Our business?
Yeah.
Our business, absolutely. Public relations is many times the first to go. But the people that have foresight really need and may think about, gosh, this is the time I really should be marketing my business because I want to be out there. So I want people to see and know about my company. But yes, it is normally we reflect the economy. PR companies reflect the economy.
So you must be at full employment then.
I am at full employment and business is solid.
Good. And so what would you say are the five mediums where individuals and companies can generate publicity?
Well, we're on the number one, which is radio.
So radio being the number one.
Radio. I'll give you the five. Radio, newspapers, television, magazines, and the internet. And I'm a very big proponent for all of them. And radio is the number one medium in the world. Of course, it's the internet because everybody in the world has radio.
Oh, interesting. So because it's the most utilized form, that's what makes it the biggest, would you say?
Yes, yes.
And look at that, Neil. We're trendsetters on the medium page.
Radio is in different forms. I mean, radio could be a podcast. So this show becomes a podcast on iTunes after the show. So radio doesn't have to be broadcast radio. But what's interesting is how people validate their choice of service providers, sometimes based upon the cachet. And cachet can be created not only by good service, but also by publicity. So one of the benefits of PR is if your name appears in the newspaper and it's spelt right, like my Wall Street Journal example.
Oh, don't give spelt right. Mine is never spelt correctly. Unless Jennifer places it.
Duva is not spelled correctly?
No, it's not the last name, Neil. Only it's you struggle Diane. With that. It's Diane with two N's.
Oh, Diane with two N's. Yep. You have two N's in your name?
See, learning something new every day.
So, you know, it's sort of ironic that people will do their diligence. People will speak to clients that have similar businesses. And then they'll be pushed over the edge when they see a piece of publicity, which is sort of just human nature.
That's correct.
Which is one of the hidden benefits of public relations.
So, Jennifer, let's talk about something fun. What would you say?
Excuse me, as opposed to what I just said? It's like, that was depressing. Let's talk about something fun
depressing.
Now.
Depressing. It's a lot. It's in that same vein.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A good segue.
There you go.
What would you say has been your most famous publicity event that you've been a part of?
Okay. Well, I've had several, but the one I'm going to share with you today is because everybody knows the Hollywood sign. And the Hollywood Sign is a company that The Hollywood Sign has a graffiti problem. And we represent a company called Textured Coatings of America, which is a paint manufacturer. And they have several products based out of South Central Los Angeles and Panama City, Florida. And so when we Stuart Haynes is the owner of the company. They've been in business for 57 years. His father founded the company. And Stuart said to me, what do you think about cleaning up the Hollywood sign with our anti-graffiti coating? And so what went from his idea was our meeting with the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, who is in charge of the Hollywood sign. And they agreed, and Textured Coatings of America agreed to paint the Hollywood sign, cover it with, apply an anti-Texcoat graffiti guard, and they used reformed gang members to apply the, clean up the Hollywood sign with an anti-graffiti coating. And it was the largest event in the history of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce ever, the amount of publicity that day garnered. And going forward, I was able to use that publicity for a year all over the world for Textured Coatings of America, because everybody recognizes the Hollywood sign.
Right. Yeah. It has that, you know, it's representative of American.
I have a number for you to call that guy who runs the New York City subway system. you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a... I want to be a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Alnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
Unfortunately, with all this rain in the forecast, it doesn't appear as if we can play tomorrow night, because now we're in a Tuesday night league for bocce.
Excuse me, doesn't Alnaldi's Cafe have a roof?
They do, but not for the bocce ball courts. The bocce ball courts are out back, remember?
Right.
I took you there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, unfortunate with all this
However,
weather.
You could go and have dinner there.
You could go and have dinner there, have a delicious meal, have a great drink, and support local business. We all know, gosh knows, we need it. So, Jennifer, on the break, we were talking about the textured coating company that put their anti-graffiti on the Hollywood sign, and you're currently working with them on a publicity project. What is it? Tell us about it.
Very interesting. Howard Hughes, the aviator and director and producer, he made an airplane called the Spruce Goose, and it flew one time. Are you familiar with that, Neil?
Yes. In fact, I was there when he first took it. No, I'm joking.
I was like, oh boy, where is this going?
It could have been.
No, it couldn't have been. That's not nice to say. Come on.
Are you trying to date yourself here, Neil?
No, this was 1938.
Anyway,
it's radio. Keep that in mind. People can't see you.
Howard Hughes flew the spruce, the airplane one time, and then it was housed. The Spruce Goose was housed in hangars in Playa Vista, which is near Santa Monica, for many, many years. Well, recently, Google has leased the hangars where Spruce Goose was, and they're right now building it out to house 500 employees, and Google chose Texcoat's product, a black reflective product, because if you think of Google, you may think that they like their buildings in black, and they chose Texcoat. So right now, Texcoat is being applied to the building where these hangars are in Playa Vista, California, and the building next door for the 500 Google employees.
Oh, interesting. So Google's opening up a new campus, so to speak.
Exactly. There are a lot of campuses down in that area, many of which you'd recognize in a minute.
So are they keeping the Spruce Goose or in some
Spruce
sort
Goose
of...
Spruce Goose has been moved.
Oh, so it's not going to be... I thought that might... That's kind of up Google's alley, you know, to have Spruce Goose there and, you know, have it be a visual fun thing for their employees to look at.
But what's wonderful about textured coatings with this story is we've been able to generate publicity about textured coatings using this product, having to do with the hangers of Spruce Goose, all over the world. So we are in national magazines, all over painting magazines, all over the world. So our clients able to use it also on social media. So we're getting a lot of traction with this story. Just as we did, as I wanted to mention with the Hollywood sign. The great thing about the Hollywood sign was because it was visual, the television stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, came out and watched these applicators apply the paint and the coating on the Hollywood sign. And that's the wonderful advantage of publicity.
And one of the things about a professional is that they'll be able to tell a client that if you want your product on television, there's an old saying in television, if it's not on tape, it didn't happen. And the idea of if you want to be on even a local news station any place, you really need to figure out a way to make it into a visual performance to make it interesting.
No, that's such a good thing to mention, because television is visual. It's not just talking heads. So if you want to be on television, it's an event. Something there has to be some splash. If not, go to radio.
Good thing we're on radio, Neil.
Well, I was going to ask if she can help us get some splash. We can go to
we don't need splash. We're on radio, right? So, Jennifer, we kind of we skipped over your beginnings. How did you get into PR? How did you get into this line of work, and what keeps you motivated and doing it? And you do such a great job. So share with us kind of your beginnings.
My beginning was that I wanted to be a writer. And then when I started college, I took Journalism 101, and that started me. It was I read a book. I went to San Simeon, and I picked up the book about William Randolph Hearst. I read the book in the car, passenger side, on my way back to Los Angeles, and I knew that is what I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the world of journalism. I just found it so interesting. And then when I finished at USC, I went into work for these very prestigious companies and learned about publicity and stayed with publicity.
Given that your family was in the entertainment industry, what did they think of this move to go into PR instead of acting or directing or writing on movies or TV?
Oh, that's a good question, because my family is in the entertainment industry. My sister's a casting director. My son-in-law is a lawyer, an agent of famous people and directors and so on. But my mother told me to become a teacher. So I really had to give her that segue. Hey, Mom, this is not for me. So I love PR.
And now, would you say PR or publicity for average, you know, everyday people as opposed to celebrity people is any different, or is it the same?
So I think the question is it easier to generate publicity for businesses or celebrities? And it is easier to generate publicity for celebrities, and I'm going to tell you how I learned this. When we represented Fleetwood Mac, Heart, oh gosh, so many groups that you're familiar with, we had a media list of all the entertainment publications, as an example, and outlets. And we were able to use that list every day. But when I get a new company, I have to put together a completely new media list for that company, because every client is different. So it is more difficult for a publicist to generate publicity for companies than it is for entertainers.
Which makes sense, because, you know, you have these entertainers, some of whom don't even have a trade. They're not even actors or singers or something along those lines. They're just kind of celebrity talent, and you have millions of people following them. So I've got to imagine it is easier for the celebrity world. Although I've got to imagine dealing with the celebrity has its own different type of – it's less of a business meeting, perhaps.
I never had any problems with celebrities, but when I chose to open up the Goddard Company Public Relations, I decided that I didn't want to stay in entertainment because I didn't like working weekends and nights, because I'd have to go down to what was before Staples. It was
The Staples Center. Yeah, I don't know.
In Inglewood, the Forum. A lot of the Roxy, and a lot of things at night, and I decided I didn't want to have that lifestyle anymore.
And what brought you up to the Santa Barbara area?
Well, we lived in L.A., and it was a lifestyle choice that we decided just to move to Santa Barbara. We'd visited here so many times and loved it, and our children were young, and it just was a great move.
And how's the weather outlook for the next 3 days turning out for you, given that decision? By the way, I just want to let everybody know that today is March 19th, and 19 years ago today, I closed on my house.
Oh,
I just happened to notice
this is
the
your
date.
19th anniversary on
my
the 19th of March?
Yes, it is. On that note, you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And if you're just joining us, we're in studio with Jennifer Goddard Combs, the president and founder of the Goddard Company, a publicist here locally in the Santa Barbara area. And thanks again for being with us, Jennifer. And so if we're a local company, what are some of the media outlets that they can look to get some publicity? And do you need to, a lot of times people ask, you know, do you need to buy an ad in order to get that publicity?
That's a very good question, Diane. No, you do not need to buy an ad to generate publicity in 99% of all media outlets in the United States. So what is available locally? If you're going to do your own publicity, put together your media list, study the media, whether it's radio, magazines, newspapers, and televisions, and really study them before you contact them and be ready to really understand what it is that you're trying to do with the media outlet. But here in Santa Barbara, there are quite a few publications that you might take a look at. For sure, the Santa Barbara News Press, the Santa Barbara Independent, Pacific Coast Business Times, Montecito Journal, The Sentinel, Voice, Santa Barbara Family Life, NewsHawk, Ed Hat, Carpinteria Coastal View, and study those media outlets and see if your message is correct, is right for that outlet. Also think about radio, just 1290, listen to the programs, find out if maybe you want to be a guest on one of the shows. Also the television stations and the magazines. Really study it before you contact them.
And so how difficult is it to get on the television stations locally? I know we touched on this previously about how you really need to have a visual, but how would a local company create that visual? What types of tips would you give them if they wanted to get on television?
Well, television, I'm going to give you the quick tips because TV, there's just not a lot of time on television anymore. So there are two different ways. One is to get the television station to send a camera person out to cover the event, or for you to tape it yourself, even on your iPhone, and submit it to the local television station. Those are ways to get on TV, but it needs to be visual, and there needs to be a story, whether it's the Boy Scouts raising $60,000 for the new camp that they're building here, or it's...
Recovering, really, from that fire, the Whittier fire.
That's it. Or you're offering free flu shots for the medical clinic here in Santa Barbara. That's visual.
Right.
Showing the people standing in line getting their free shots.
That's definitely a great point. And so for – let's go over again. So people to contact you, they would reach you. The best way is to go to thegoddardcompany.com, your website.
Yes, and they can see all the clients that we've talked about today, including Arlington Financial Advisors. We even have pictures up of Neil.
Oh, look at that, Neil. You're famous.
And for those, I'm sure many, many listeners are really looking to get a picture of me. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. Really fascinating. You've been listening to Money Talk. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. It's